There's a mystery written about in our Father's Word, and we come to that time in our Father's plan when you must be very alert and you must be aware of what it is that He expects of you. It's not as is commonly taught that is to say, if you wish to arrive there in good standing, that all you have to do is believe and that is it, for a servant is worthy of his hire, and if you haven't done anything, you're not worth anything. I'll say that again. A servant is worthy of his hire. If you're a servant for the Lord and you haven't done anything for Him, you're not worth anything. And that's the way you're going to arrive there. So it makes one take a deep breath, take a moment, and think. Well, are you saying that I'm going to hell? No, I'm just saying you're going to arrive there worthless, broke, and naked as a jaybird. That's very scriptural. Very scriptural. So this is the time to study your Father's Word and listen to Him rather than listening to man. We have just finished, if you would, in this great free nation, a battle. But there's another battle going on at the same time. It's a spiritual war. Whether you like it or not, the battle that was just completed was a religious war. Religions are beginning to play a major part in the wars, and in a sense, haven't they always, really, quite frankly, but more so at this time. This spiritual war is between Satan and Christ. And you had better be planning for that war. You'd better be planning what it is, or understanding what it is that your Father requests of you. And within that, in a sense, is the mystery. What are you to do? That's why I decided to title this, Who Shouts When? And at the same time, as in the book of Joshua. Joshua in the Hebrew tongue is Yahshua, which is simply to say Jesus. All right, that was his name, if we were to read his name in English. When they were at Jericho, and Jericho means sweet and everything is fragrance, and that's the way Babylon confusion always is. You're all right, just believe, do whatever you want to, and you're going to drift right in just as well as can be. Just make sure you're here every time the doors open, and everything will be wonderful. And then usually they'll say, and when we pass the hat here in a moment, be sure and bless God, all right? And you'll be fine in heaven. That's not written anywhere in God's Word, all right? It's just not written there. But there are things that our Father expects His children and those that believe upon Him to do, to know, and to understand. For as Joshua was told, march around that city for 6 days. And every day, he said, what I have done, I have shut up within those walls all of that nation, and I give them to you. I give you the victory. What happened on the seventh day? On the seventh day, he said, take 7 trumpets and march around that city 7 times. And when you have marched around it the 7th time, let the trumpet sound, the 7th trumpet sound, which is a type of the 7th trumpet of the book of Revelation. And then what happened? Can you remember? Have the people shout with a very loud shout. What does that really mean? It really means that, say it where it goes around the world. Do you realize that in Desert Storm and through the troubles of the world, in a very still, small voice, right from this chapel, it went all the way around the world? So it is with you. You don't, in this end generation, in as much as the sword of the Lord is the tongue, which comes from the mouth, Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, your documentation. A two-edged sword, God's truth, that cuts both ways. We have technology, and even as Jesus said, in the end times implied, you will do greater miracles than this. That is to say, his teaching to a multitude. With a soft voice, even in the storm, your voice can go around the world as you shout or state the truth that the Holy Spirit will give you, as it is written in Mark 13 and Matthew 24, when you are delivered up. But what about this mystery, and what are you shouting about? What are you supposed to be doing? You're not supposed to be idle. You're supposed to be prepared and armed with the knowledge of God. Oh, but that man could obtain that. You know, you can't all of it, but at least you can learn from your Father's Word, the written Word, what it is that you're supposed to do. You know, I honestly believe that, and I'm not talking against any church, but I dislike the attitude that has been brought forth over this long period of time that, understand their qualifications of goody-goody two-shoes, all right? That's somebody that will let somebody slap them either way, run over them, knock them down, stomp on them, and get up and say, Jesus loves you, all right? That's not really biblical. He said, he was teaching his disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is one that's disciplining themselves in the Word of God to teach it. If you're teaching someone and you offend them and they reach out and slap you, turn the other cheek. But if an enemy walks up to you on the street and slaps you, knock him down. You might say, well, we're to love our enemies. That's exactly right. You're to love your children, but what are you to do with them? You spank them. You put the rod to them, or else you spoil them. You ruin them. The same way with your enemy. If you love them, if he knocks you down, whether you realize it or not, and regardless of what some church might tell you, that's a very rude thing to do, is for someone just to come up and knock someone down. So you've got to speak his language. He understands being knocked down, so knock him down. All right. And then you're beginning to act more like a child of God. You understand? Then you can tell the person, had you not done that to me, I wouldn't have done that to you. Now let's talk about something. Let's get our minds together. In other words, God wants people that can perform, that can take his word and act like a man or a woman of God rather than one of these fluff sob sisters that misquote and take God's word totally and completely out of context and allow Christianity to become a second-class people. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, I'm not telling you at the same time to go out and be a troublemaker. If trouble comes from you, though, handle it. There's a big difference. If trouble comes to you, handle it. Don't put it off. Handle it. Okay, so what is this mystery then? And what is this seventh trump? And what is this shout? What is this voice? There's only one place you're going to know, and that's to go to the Father's Word. So let's do just that. Let's take our Bible. Well, let's do a little planning. What did Jesus say about planning ahead? You never wait to the last minute. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. Jesus again was teaching his disciples. And I'll just begin reading at verse 26 of that 14th chapter. That isn't the main reason we came here, but I'll read it anyway. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother or sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's one. He cannot discipline himself under me. Now let me spare you that do not understand Greek. The word in the Greek is not hate, it's love less. You must love your mother or your father less than you do me. After all, he gave his life for you, his blood, and he is your nearest kin. And you must love him more. than you do your own self and your own family. He's not telling you here that you should not love them, for certainly remember the commandments concerning mother and father. God's word does not contradict itself. It is only man that confuses it. 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I think that's an interesting statement. At the time of this writing, why did you pick a cross up? Why did you pick a cross up at the time of this writing? It was to carry it up to a hill and be crucified on it. In other words, it would not be willing to die for him. That means you must be very serious about what you're doing. All right? Verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, let's make that tower the temple of God in this end generation, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he hath sufficient to finish it. Can you finish the race? Do you know what's about to happen? Do you know what's going to come onto this world? And are you up to the task? To put together and build the temple that Jesus said, tear it down, I'll rebuild it in 3 days, the many-membered body, which is the body of Christ at the temple of this end generation, must be built. And the foundation is Christ. But are you a master builder in his house, of his house? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, what is the foundation of God's house? It's Christ, build on Christ. That's scripture from front to back, all right? You got no problem there. Anyone can accept Christ and say, I believe. But what are you going to do after that? That's only the first step. That's baby milk. But it's beautiful and it's wonderful. But you're supposed to mature into servants of God. Have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. You really are. You're a laughing stock. If you are a Christian and an unbeliever loses a mate, a mother, or a father, in other words, they die, and that unbeliever comes to you and says, tell me, where are the dead? Well, I don't know. What a shame you are. What an affront to Christ that you call yourself by his name and cannot answer such a simple yet question that has such a beautiful answer from the Word of God. I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip, and I'm not trying to shame anyone. I'm just saying there's more to being a Christian than what is commonly taught, and unfortunately the traditions of men have brought us to this place. God is looking for a people that are useful, that can be a comfort in his word to a non-believer, to feed them with meat when they're hurting, rather than just simply pat them on the back and say, believe, it'll be all right, rather than to quote them 1 Corinthians 5, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. The spirit instantly returns to God, which is the spirit being the intellect of the soul, that you are instantly back with the Father when this breath takes flesh takes its last breath. Your loved ones are with God. It's important that you know those things. And I'm only using that as one little example that you are truly then a Christian, that the Word of Christ, which He is the Word, is in your heart and mind. And you're able to be a practicing Christian. What good is a medical doctor if he never practices? What good was his knowledge? What do they call one that hangs out a shingle but doesn't have the training or knowledge? They call him a quack. A quack. And any person that calls themselves a Christian and is not able to comfort their fellow men is a quack also. A quack Christian. That's why it's important that you take note. We're moving to that day where you're going to stand before Him. We all are. We've all done things we're going to be ashamed of. After repentance, they're gone. They're done away with. But may we not be found guilty of not trying by understanding His Word, by digging into it deeper, not by being a weekend Christian, but by being a Christian studying His Word, not a fanatic, but a Christian studying His Word every day of the week, a certain allotment of time set aside for our Father. Okay, they're going to mock Him, and they'll mock you as a Christian. If you give the same old pedal, nobody knows, just have faith. Nobody knows the answer to that. Just have faith. That's sick. It's really sick for a person that... I really shouldn't say that, because that's what drug me into the ministry, was trying to find questions when I was 22 years old that no one could answer, and all I could get is just have faith. And I knew in my heart and mind that the answers were in our Father's Word. And it drove me to even the manuscripts in the languages to find the answers to those questions. So I suppose I should, let's on with the verse 30. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. He scratched out. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? 32. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, sends out an ambassador, and desireth conditions of peace. Now you, as a student of God's Word, do you know what Jesus was talking about there? If you're in His army, one shall put 1,000 or 10,000 to flight. So if you've got 20,000 coming against you with 10,000, it's an unfair advantage to the enemy, not you. You have the victory. But you wouldn't know that if you hadn't studied the Psalms. Okay? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. If you can't love me more than all other things, if you can't give me just a little bit of time to understand how I do things, you can't be my disciple. That means one of my teachers. And beloved, every Christian should be a teacher to the point of planting a seed at least. Like I said, that's not standing on a street corner passing out tracts, but when someone hurts around you, what good are you? In His name, if the comfort that is in your heart and the sure knowledge that He is, if you can't bring that and expound upon it just a little bit into that hurting one's life, you're falling short. You're falling short. Then he gives a little analogy here. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, if it's not salty anymore, wherewith shall it be seasoned? How could the world be seasoned? And remember the parable, a little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. A little Christianity will go a long ways if it's in your mind and heart and ready when it's needed. Wherewith shall it be seasoned? How in the world could you salt something? Have you received any of this salt in this last generation that it seems like you can put all the salt on something you want and it's yuck? It's just not salty at all, hardly, you know. You know what it's good for? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. You know, Jesus spoke pretty frank, pretty plain. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That means you that have eyes to see and ears to hear. He says, listen to what I'm saying to you. There's a war about to take place. We have an enemy approaching. Now, are you going to send an ambassador out and surrender? Or are you going to get hopped in God's Word and know, just as we had in Desert Storm with God's intervention, where it was miraculous at how few we lost? I don't know. You know, it is difficult, I would suppose, for someone that hasn't been on a battlefield to hear tanks and mortars and bombs. And hey, I've sat under the arc of the old Missouri that's fired those, lobbed those things in over my head into Seoul, Korea. And to hear the boom, boom of war. And to know how many tons of explosives against 500,000 enemy men. And there were days we did not lose one soul. Not one trooper. Unfortunately, most of the men that were lost were either accidents or by a scud. Don't you see God's hand? I know you could see it better if you were used to war, if you knew what it was really like. God interceded to show Saddam that he was God, that he is God, that he is not Satan. And how magnificent it is to live in this generation when you actually see his word unfolding before your very eyes. All I'm saying to you is, get sure-footed in it, in the word, as best you can, and be ready to be a champion of your people, a champion for Christ. And you can be a champion simply by answering the simple little question I stated earlier of being able to help someone that is hurting. You know, when you lose someone that's real close to you and you're an unbeliever, all you see is a 3x6 hole in the ground. Do you remember back when maybe you felt that way and the dirt was thrown on and that was it? And when you can bring that soul and place it in the bosom of Abraham, in the presence of the Lord, and to give that person hope, you change their life, dear one. You can talk about evangelists all you want to, but it's the practicing Christian that brings people to him that are stayers, not back out on the road again Monday morning and gone again, you see. Not an emotional trip, but the real thing. That's what I'm saying. So when you plan, plan well. Well, let's get back to the subject. Who shouts when? All right? Kind of a double question there. But at the same time, I want you to see a mystery, a real mystery. Let's go to the 10th chapter of Revelation. And let's take a little look-see here in the book of Revelation. We were talking about the seventh trump earlier, weren't we? Happened on the seventh day. And what happened is when the seventh trump sounded, he said, "You tell the people to speak out, to shout, to come forth with their stuff," all right? The thing you got to figure out is, what is my stuff? Well, your stuff is the sword of the Lord. You'll find that written in Rev 1:16. Okay, verse 10th chapter, let's see. Let's start here with verse 7. "But in the days of the voice," do you know what a voice is? This is a strong voice, like a shout. "The voice of the seventh angel," that's the who's the seventh angel? He's the one that blows the seventh trump. That's what we're talking about. "When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God." Do you understand that? Listen carefully. "The mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." Now, God told somebody who that mystery was. And the mystery happens right at that trump and just prior to it. That mystery that is hidden from most of the world, but certainly not to God's disciples. Turn on over with me to the 15th chapter of this great book. That'd be the next one. The 15th verse. That's 11:15. "And the seventh angel sounded." Now, this is after the fact. We've heard that old seventh trump now. "And there were great voices in heaven." So you see, it's not only going to be the people of the earth with voices, but even from heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So anyone, it doesn't take, let's see, 2 and 2 is 4. So what that means is that when the seventh trump or the last trump sounds, Christ is returning here to set his kingdoms up on this earth. Period. I mean, that's it. Well, that's a little different, and I've heard people explain that. I heard some people say something about there was supposed to be a flyaway in here somewhere or something like that. Well, I didn't read it from God's Word, my friend. It said at the seventh trump, there was going to be a mystery happen or come to pass, and there were going to be voices from heaven, and we read in the tenth also from the earth. We read in Joshua, that there would be voices from the people. What possibly could it be talking about? And then you should remember, Paul told you what that mystery was. And it's so simple. 1 Corinthians, I apologize for running you around, but it's good for you, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you've all read it many, many times. I'm going to start reading with verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. You'll remember just prior to this, he had stated, hey, flesh and blood can't enter into my kingdom. It means you got to have some other kind of gear on other than flesh and blood to enter my kingdom. Now for the mystery. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. You got it right here, friend. This is the mystery of the seventh trump. We shall not all sleep. What's the mystery? We're not all going to die. There's going to be an end come at that seventh trump, and some of us are going to still be alive, yes, even in the flesh. That's the subject in the Greek from the prior verse. But, this is the mystery, we shall all, that's A-L-L, every living being shall be changed. Changed into what? The subject before this was we have two bodies. We've got a flesh body and we've got a spiritual body. And at a wink, in the twinkle of an eye, let's continue right on here. This is your mystery. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just that quick, at the last trump. How about that? This word last in the Greek is a very interesting word. It means the furthest one out, and what that means, there ain't no more. All right? So don't let someone ever try to tell you, oh, this is a series. It means there ain't no more. Meaning it is the last, seventh trump, all right? For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, understand me now, corruption has to do with flesh. Your flesh gets you into any sin you've ever been in, all right? With its, I want this, and I want that, and oh, won't this be nice, and won't that be nice, and so forth. Your flesh causes that. It is corruptible. Why? Get sick, catches the flu, gets a virus, you know, gets a cold. This flesh is such a bother, all right? Well, but hang on to it, okay? Everybody hang on to it. We're going to need it for a while. Okay, God created a beautiful, precious body. I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm saying that you've got a far better body. You've got one that doesn't get sick, that doesn't get old, that is young, that is vivacious, and that is eternal. Now, everybody's going to have one of those all. I don't care if they're a sinner, or if they're a saint, or what? They're going to be transferred into that for what judgment? Let me not keep it long. You understand? Let me not keep it long. You understand what I'm saying? May not stay in it very long. Why? Because, listen, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, This has to do with your soul. The word mortal in the Greek means liable to die. Your soul is liable to die if you're found guilty. If you fall short, you must put on immortality, which is to say deathlessness. How do you do that? It's by loving Him. It's no step at all. That's the easiest part of it, is to have your soul be saved. But beloved, what are you going to be when you get there? That's what's important also. It's important that you be, instead of naked, dressed in white apparel, which according to Revelation chapter 19 is created by your righteous acts. How do you create righteous acts when we all fall short and we're all sinners? By repenting. By saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to start over and mean it from your heart. And know from at that moment you're righteous. But the old flesh is going to get you again pretty soon. Now that's what Paul said the mystery was simply that you're going to change just like that. That's the mystery. The mystery of what? Christ gathering back to us. Now you've heard people say, oh, dear brother, you don't know. Now we're going to float away. Oh? Where is it written? Oh, dear brother, I can see right now you've never read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Well, let's go there and you'll find the strongest documentation for the things I've said, looking at it in this light, that are written in God's Word. 1 Thessalonians. Somebody moved it in my Bible here. Okay. There, I found it. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. Known as the Great Rapture Scriptures. All right? The Great Rapture Scriptures. Now, Paul, remember, did you notice how he eased you into that mystery a while ago? Look what a great teacher he is, and listen to this. Chapter 4, verse 13. Paul teaching. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. What does that mean? It means I want you to be knowledgeable about this. I want you to understand it real good. Concerning, and this is what it's concerning, this is the subject fixed in the Greek. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. Isn't that the question I posed to you earlier? If you can't tell somebody where their dead relatives are, you're not much of a Christian. You're really not, because you haven't done your homework. That's what Paul is saying here. Even as others which have no hope. In other words, unbelievers don't have any hope because they don't know. 14, for if we believe that Jesus died, and this is the important part, died and stayed, put dirt over him, and there he was, roll the rock on the tomb, and there he stayed. No, believe that he died, and the miracle, the mystery, that he arose. He did not stay there. That's the point. He did not stay there, but he rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Why will God bring them with him? Because they are already with him. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, the flesh body is gone, we're through with it, it's impure, it's full of sin, it's over, it's done. You don't want it back. You want that beautiful body, that spiritual body that you step into the instant the breath of life passes from this body. Now, do we have any problem about that? Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about the fact that just like you believe, if you're a Christian, Christ rose, died and rose, that they are too, okay? They're also with him. They're not out here in the ground. 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Meaning, that's what God's word states. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we that are still living, not asleep, not dead, still living, when the Lord returns, shall not prevent them which are asleep. The word really means precede. Do you know why? They're already there. That's what he's saying. He's explaining it so simple that a child can understand. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. What is he doing? Is he coming or going? He's descending, coming down from heaven with a shout. There's that shout again. Who shouts when and where? Why? With a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Ooh, 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 which angel? You just read it a moment ago in the book of Revelation. It's the seventh angel, which is the seventh trump, the last trump. That's when the shout goes. That's along with you, who shouts and when. We could even add why and where, and you would still know. This angel with the trump of God. Now, that's the seventh one, all right? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why? They're already there. They already have risen. They have departed. Praise God. They are with him. What Paul is saying here, if you don't have, that's what the subject was in the 15th chapter. If you don't believe that Christ rose from the dead, you're wasting your time being a Christian. For Christianity is not worth a dime if Christ didn't arise. That's where so many say, well, you can be baptized for one of the dead, and they misinterpret what God said through Paul. Why would you be baptized in Christ's name if he was still in a hole in the ground? All right, that's all Paul was saying. He was making light and mocking, really. So what do we see? We see then that there is a shout, and what are they shouting? They're shouting God's word, his truth. They're teaching. You're not to premeditate what you will say or do at that time as it is written. But you can only prepare yourself to be in a position to have that faith in him by knowing what the war consists of and what it is that you are to do about it. You're supposed to be ready. No one is flying anywhere in the flesh body. No one is flying anywhere at the change. Listen, next verse. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Do you know what this word air is? Breath of life. What is the Ruach, the Holy Spirit? It's like the wind, the breath, meaning the spiritual body. You're going to be... Do you know what the word resurrect means? It has three meanings. Foremost, that to believe upon Christ, you are resurrected. Into what? A higher level of thinking. That's all. But it is a resurrection to of understanding. And what Paul spoke, colloquial Greek, he will state in Hebrews chapter 12, let's gather in a cloud. That means like a large group. The true believers will be gathered into a large group with him in spiritual bodies, which means what? It's the many-membered body of Christ. That's all. No more, no less, and they are in the Ruach, the spirit body, rather than this chunk of meat, whereby they can serve him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, and that you can do. Because it is the good news that he is coming here. There is a war. We have a job to do. But remember this. Do you remember when Elijah was present and God showed him three things, and the last being a huge storm, and there was a small voice in that, and God said, "That's not me"? Are you about to find out who that small voice is going to be, that shout? It's you, if you're going to have a part in it. God says, "I'm not in it. I'm descending at that time." It's you that are going to be the small voice that comes forth. So see that you do your homework. Well, what am I supposed to do? just know that Christ is returning to this earth after Antichrist has had his 5-month reign. Allow yourself, as it is written in Mark 13, to be delivered up before the synagogue of even Satan if it's necessary. But know that not one hair on your head can be touched, for it is not ye that speak, but I that speak through you, he said. So you see how valuable God's truth becomes in such a simple form. Have we said anything new this morning? Not really. But put forth in such a way to warn, we are in the final generation. You're going to stand before him. What is he going to say to you? I know some of the things he's going to say to me. Okay? Yep, I can handle it. All right? I can handle it. You know, but know this. At least don't be a lazy servant. I think it is written, I wish I could remember how many times. I think 1, 2, 3. That God hates a sluggard. You know what that is? That's a lazy person for him. So you might say, well, what am I supposed to do? Let him talk to you. Well, how do I do that? That's his word. That's his letter written to you. Have you ever read the whole thing? Well, it doesn't do any good to read the whole thing if you don't understand what you're reading. It's better to read a little of it, if you follow me, with understanding than it is to read all of it and not understand anything. But just give him a little time. And in the simplicity in which Christ taught, prepare yourself for the war that's coming. Be worth something for him. After all, he died for you. I don't know what you did to be worth that. And if I asked you to ask yourself, are you worth it? Am I worth it? I don't know. Boy, I could sure debate that, but that's not open for debate. It's already a fact. He did. But I do know one thing more than maybe anything else. He loves you. That's why he said, you've got to love me more than yourself. You've got to love me more than even your own family, because I died for you. I gave my life for you because I love you. I care. I care what's in your mind. I care what's in your heart. You know what else he's saying? I depend on you because you are my soft voice. A voice that can go all the way around the world when I speak through you, even with modern technology. Yep. He thinks a lot of you, and he loves you. So see that you're always prepared by allowing him to speak to you through his word. So again, I would give the title to this lecture, Who Shouts When? It's you all the way, and you know what? I'm not the least bit worried that you're going to be in there slugging away, all right? Because you're prepared and you're ready. But always know that the supernatural, as long as your Father is with you, cannot harm you nor hurt you. You don't have to be afraid of anything. For the same as we had the victory in Desert Storm this past week with the almighty hand of God intervening, with that divine intervention, we have the victory all the way to the end. Just like that, our Father controls all things. So love him. Speak to him. I don't care how small your problem is. Give it to him when you've done all you can do. He can handle it the same as he handled Hussein, all right? I hope that doesn't offend you that I use that analogy, but I'm saying you are that important to him. He's not a play actor. He's for real. And he'll stick with you. All right, let's go to his throne. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your letter to us, Father. Thank you, Father, for the simplicity in those you sent to teach his word, Father, with Paul and Luke and so forth, Father. Father, we just love you so much. Let us know what it is that you would have us do from your letter as individuals, Father, and we'll be happy to serve you in Yahshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.